Luke 22:40. When he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, "Father, if it's your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel appeared unto him from heaven, strengthened him, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he arose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, "Why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation." Father, thank you this morning for being in the house of God. Thank you, Lord, for our Sunday school hours. We studied your word and fellowship and discussed your word and Lord, grew from it. Thank you, Father, for our praise time, that we could praise you in song and adoration, for you're worthy. All our hope is in you this morning, Lord. Where would we be today without the Lord Jesus coming into our lives, changing our lives, forgiving us, washing away our sin? We are washed by the blood of the Lamb. Father, I pray now you'd bless your word. Lord, your word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, your word, as we look into it, it's like a mirror. It sees, it shows us how we really are before you. But Lord, we are redeemed. We're washed. We're cleansed. And we have fellowship through the Lord Jesus Christ. His name we ask it. Amen. The key verse I want to look at this morning, it says, "Not my will, but yours be done." Speak this morning, I've called it the most difficult verse in the Bible. Now, there's a lot of difficult verses in the Bible if you've ever read the Bible. Some may say, "Whoa, wow. Does Jesus really want us to do that? Does God really intend for us to do that and do those things and live like that?" I heard a little story about there was two guys. They were farmers. They'd been best friends. They grew up best friends. And they had farms near each other. And so they met one day, and they were talking. And one of them said, "You know, we've been friends since we were in high school." Said they were only up in age. And he said, "We've just been best friends." And he says, "You know, if you had 10 pigs, would you give me one of them?" And the other guy said, "Yeah, if I had 10 pigs, I'd give you one of those pigs." He said, "Because you're my best friend." A few minutes, the guy said, you know, he was kind of high-fiving because they were such good buddies. And finally, he said, "Well, if you had 5 pigs, would you give me one of those if you had 5 pigs?" He said, "Yeah, if I had 5, I'd give you one." A few minutes, he said, "Well, if you had 2 pigs," he said, "Get out of here. You know I got 2 pigs." Now, sometimes we're willing to commit to the Lord till we find out what he's really asking us to do. Amen? Amen. We said, "Well, I love Jesus. I'd do anything. He's done anything for me," until we read his word. There's a lot of difficult verses in the Bible that kind of goes against our will and our nature. In fact, it does. He says, visit folks in prison. How many of you done that lately? I hadn't done it lately, but I have done it. I remember the first time when I was in Bible college, and I went to minister in prison. They asked me to go, and I went in, and I went in the door, and they locked the door behind me. And then I had to walk through this open area, and all these guys were just wandering around. I'll be honest, I was a little nervous. And then I got in this room, and they put me in the room, and I was in the back, and people were coming in, and it filled up, and about 40 guys between me and the door. But you know what? God really blessed that day, and some of them got saved that day, and I ministered to the Word. And so I've been many times over the years because God would direct us to do that. But it's not easy. But people in prison need the Lord too, just like anybody else does. And sometimes he says, feed the hungry. And we're all for it. But when's the last time we did it? Kind of do it at Thanksgiving sometime. At Christmas, we help people out and help families out. And that's good. We should. But it's a difficult thing that God says sometime. He says, if somebody wants your coat, give me cloak also. That was kind of that outer garment and inner garment. He said, don't just give them one thing, just give them something extra. And that's kind of hard. He said, if somebody wants to borrow something from you, loan it to them. And y'all got a new car, I'd like to borrow it this afternoon. But you know, he says those kind of things, we kind of look at them, but in reality, if we did it, they're pretty tough. They're pretty hard. He says, don't sue anybody. In other words, he says, he's really saying, don't defend all your rights all the time. he goes on to say in the New Testament, he says, we should esteem other people better than our own selves. Boy, that's hard. That means you look up at other people better than you look at your own self. He's really saying get rid of the pride. And it's hard to get rid of pride because we're prideful people. We're born that way. We like ourselves, you know, and we're prideful. I mean, if you don't like yourself, who else are going to? But he says, look at others and lift them up. That's hard. That's a difficult verse. He says, pray without ceasing. You done any of that lately? It's pretty tough. There's some hard things in the Bible that Jesus says we ought to be doing. He says, make disciples. It's pretty hard sometimes to do that. Try to reach people for him and give out the gospel. But I think one of the hardest things he says, and it culminates down to verse 42, when he says, when Jesus said to the Father, not my will, but your will be done. In other words, it's not the things I want, but the things that you want is what I want in my life. All we have is Jesus. We're washed by the blood. We belong to him. We're bought with a price. But we don't act like it sometimes. Ever feel conflict and turmoil in your soul when you read something in the Word and you know something? And you know, we were studying Nehemiah this morning in Sunday school, and one of the things they were trying to clean out the gates, they said, you got to get rid of the rubbish before you can really build. And we have to get rid of the rubbish in our life sometimes. We have to confess those sins. And, you know, we like our sins. The Bible said there's pleasure in sin, but it's seasonal. Don't last forever. If people didn't like it, they wouldn't do it, would they? You'd have to force onions down me because I don't like onions. There's no temptation, but there's other now. You bring a nice cake in, a red velvet now, that's trouble. There's things that we don't have any problem with, but there's other things that's rubbish in our life. Not that cake is, but there's other things. We struggle with things in our life. Everybody does. Sometimes it's fear. First Timothy said, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but joy and peace and a sound mind in the Lord. That sound mind, it comes from the Lord. But see, when we want our will, and we know it's not God's will, that inner turmoil and conflict begin to rise up. There's a fight going on there. Sometimes the fight's in our mind. I was telling somebody, I saw this lawyer on TV the other day, and he wrote a book about happiness. I said, and he was a divorce lawyer. I said, how can he write a book about happiness? That's an oxymoron there. And that means they don't fit. And but he wrote him happy. He said, you know, he struggled, almost lost his marriage and lost his family. Said he was just miserable all the time. And he finally decided, you got to choose to be happy. And he says, sometimes, and he's right scripturally, he says, sometimes it's that battle in the mind that makes us unhappy because we don't want to do what God wants us to do and struggle. And he named his brain Biff. You remember Biff? You know, he was a bully. He said, our brains will bully us sometime to keep us from doing what we ought to be doing for God. It'll make us fear. It'll make us cower down. So the next time you feel that, just say, hey, Biff, just get out of here. You're not gonna overcome me. I'm an overcomer in Jesus Christ. And so if I'm a Christian, and I want to live for the Lord, why are we in turmoil concerning the Word of God? I used to have a professor, he'd say, if you're persecuted in one verse, just flee to another and find another you like better. And we tend to do that. We don't like to read those things. It's hard. You know, now, I'll just say this, and it convicted me this morning when I was thinking about this thing, about this message. I've got several life verses that I love. And I bet if you raise your hand, probably everybody in this room would have a verse that you really love, that really ministers you and me. But the verse that says, not my will but yours be done, it's never been my life verse. I don't know anybody in my life that's ever quoted that and said that's my life verse. But you know what? That ought to be our life verse. Lord, not my will, but Lord, your will. What you want in my life. You redeem me. I'm on my way to heaven. I don't have to worry about hell. You redeem me. I'm a new creature in Christ. And it ought to be, Lord, I want your will in my life above everything else. Above my own selfish desires. Years ago, I was doing a pastor's prayer line down in Macon, and people would call in from 40, 50 miles away, and we'd pray for them. And this lady called in one morning. She said, I'm a Christian. She said, I'm having a panic attack. She said, I'm about to lose it. She said, I can't stand anymore. She had problems in her life, and she was panicking over it. And I thought, why are we in a panic attack if we're a child of God? If we really want your will in my life, whatever comes, I can face it with the help of the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean it's easy, but it means we have to go to God for strength and help. All my hope, all my strength is in Jesus. The reason we panic and worry and fear and have turmoil is because we want our will above God's will. And that causes conflict. We read something in the Word of God and say, wow, did he really say that? Is that tough? And we don't want to do it because it conflicts with what we would like to do in our lives. Well, this is called growing in grace in the Lord. When you get a hold of this verse and come to a place in our lives that we say, Lord, I want your will above my own will, that's a big difference. It's been many times I've got on my knees and asked God to, I remember one time, and I've shared this before, that I really wanted to sell out the Lord, and I gave God my business. I prayed the hardest prayer of my life. I gave him my wife and my kids. And it's like God spoke back to my heart and said, I wasn't wanting all those things. I was wanting you. I was wanting you to give me your life and surrender your life and your will to me. Don't be giving away somebody else. It's you, Lord. It's the Lord saying, it's you I want you to surrender and commit to me and live for me. And I've tried to do that. But you know what? The Bible says that we're to present ourselves like a living sacrifice on the altar of God. And the problem with that, and I've said many times, is a living sacrifice will crawl back off the altar. And so just because you commit that and surrender one time in your life, it's not over. Because we live in this world, and we have temptations in this world, and conflicts in this world. And so there's times we have to go back and do it. We used to have revival meetings every fall and every spring to try to get the church straightened up again. I think every Sunday ought to be revival. Every Sunday when we see the Word of God and hear the Word of God and sing about the Word of God, God ought to be doing something to move us a little bit more like the Lord Jesus. Ought to be revival every Sunday, every time. And so we panic and we worry and we get anxious about things and we feel sick and we worry. You know what? When anxiety comes, it's because we've started depending on ourselves again and our will instead of God's will and God's power. See, God's got it. Why should I worry about it? Really? God spoke the world into existence. If he's got it, and he's got me, why do we worry? But we say, sometime I'm happy, sometime I'm blue, my disposition depends on you. We let things in the world change our disposition, the way we feel, and it comes in conflict, and say, Lord, I'm surrendered to you, Lord. I belong to you. And the problem is, it becomes the most difficult verse in the Bible for us because when it comes to goals in life, we want different goals than God does oftentimes, and it comes in conflict. And I'll just say this, I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad, but I'd say at least 45 years I've been in church regular. I've been to sometimes 3 or 4 times a week I've been in church, sometimes more than that. I've been in prayer meetings for years and years and years. Been in Sunday school, been in groups of Christians. And the most of the prayer requests are for sick people. There's nothing wrong praying for sick folks. God says pray that you might be healed. I mean, he says pray. But that's our kind of main request. Or travel mercy, or a job, or something like that. But few times do we hear people say, pray for the lost. See, the Bible says Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. That was his main goal in coming to the earth, was to redeem people. He left heaven. He put on himself the form of flesh that was a humiliation to him. He's God, and he put on what he created, human flesh. He humbled himself, came obedient to the cross, but he came to seek and to save the lost. He said, I didn't come to save the righteous. The righteous don't think they need to be saved. He said, I came to save sinners, seeking lost folks. He died for us. We were lost folks. You know, we were all lost on our way to hell, but he came to redeem us. But really, how many times that when we pray, if we're going to pray His will, wouldn't we be praying for people who don't know the Lord as part of that? Not that we can't pray for that other, but we tend to kind of leave that out and put it aside. That'll be the one main thing we're praying for. My goodness, a person might get healed from cancer, heart trouble, whatever it is. If they die without Christ, what good did it do them? Think about it, you know. His will is to save lost folks. His will, part of our, we're born in this world to praise and glorify Him too. And so, He came to seek and to save the lost, but we don't, is that a priority of churches? Is that our priority? And one of our goals is to be happy. To be happy. You ever seen these movies? We just want you to be happy. A lot of healthy, wealthy preachers, they just want you to be happy. Well, I'd like you to be happy. I like to be happy. Who wants to be sad? I like to be happy, you know. But the problem is we our goal is to have comfort and peace and look good. Just look at advertisements on TV. They make you feel uncomfortable and make you feel like you're being left out, because if you had that product, you'd look better. If you took that pill, you'd feel better. If you got that new car, you would really look good as you drove it, you know, all those kind of things. Make you feel like something missing in your life and make you feel discontented. But our goal is to be feel good and to be happy, because who likes pain? I don't get up in the morning and say, Lord, I'd like to have pain all day today. You know, nobody does that. Pain is a harsh teacher. But sometimes that pain drives us to God, because we realize we need something above ourselves to help us. And so our goal really is about living good, looking good and pain-free and happy and taking cruises and all. You know, nothing wrong with that, but that's not the goal. The goal is for us to do the will of the Father. Our goal is to be like Jesus. Romans 8:28 and 29, we look at 8:28, all those things working together for good, them who love the Lord and called according to His purpose. But verse 29 says, we are predestined as a Christian to be like the Lord Jesus. We're going to be like Him one day. But I got news for you. God doesn't wait till we get to heaven to start that process. The moment we get saved, God starts working on us and changing us and convicting us. And sometimes we go through trials and tribulation because God has to get our attention and get it back on Him. And so James did say, pray for the sick. He did say God will supply all our needs. But God's main goal is not comfort for us. That's what we want. His goal is to not be comforted, but be conformed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to be just like Jesus. Do you think Jesus was blessed of God? Think about it. Well, if we're more like the Lord Jesus, wouldn't we come near getting a little more blessing? You think about it. Not be backing up from God, we think we get the blessing. No, going closer to God is where the blessing comes, is surrender to Him. And so God's goal isn't for us to be pain-free. God's goal is to be like the Lord Jesus. Now, He does help us. He does heal us. He does set us free from many, many things. But to be like Jesus sometimes is going to be adversity in our lives. The world didn't like Jesus. We're shocked that the world don't just love all the Christians. They didn't love Jesus. They put Him to death. Religious people put Him to death. But the problem comes face to face, and it says, not my will, but thine be done. And so Paul says, follow me as I follow Jesus. That's a pretty bold statement. He said, you want to see what Jesus looks like and acts like? Follow my life, because I'm patterning my life after Him. In fact, Paul says, be imitators of Christ. We have to be careful who we imitate. If we imitate Jesus, He won't let us down. So we got to be cautious about imitating something that's not real. And so a lot of Christians struggle with tithing. And, you know, it's just simply trusting God. That's all there's to it. Do we trust Him? We struggle about soul winning and teaching. You know, a person can invite somebody to church and not be a Christian themselves. A person can tithe and not be a Christian themselves. A person can dress up and put on a tie and all that stuff and look good, shine their shoes, and still not be a Christian. I was at Emory Hospital years ago. Got up real early one morning, got there and spent the day. Was late in our church having open heart surgery, and was all in a room. And I was sitting there with the family, some of the family, and finally, there was a little lady there, was kind of looking after everybody and getting the coffee. And as we were talking, finally, she said to me, she says, aren't you a preacher? I said, yes. I said, how'd you know I was a preacher? She said, well, you got a tie on, you got your shoes shine. And so we need more than that, though, the fact that we're a Christian. Anybody can put a tie on and shine their shoes. Doesn't make us a Christian. And God's not interested in self-help stuff. You know, we try to help ourselves. We can be well-mannered, which we ought to be well-mannered. But when our goals conflict with God's goals, that's a problem. God doesn't want us to be puffed up, powdered up, or any of those kind of things. He wants us to be surrendered. Not my will, Lord, but yours. Boy, that's tough. That's a hard scripture. It really is. That takes dying to self, and who wants to die to self? But that's exactly what God calls us to do. God's not wanting to try to make you look better. God, you know, the body just resists. This whole body likes itself. And God doesn't want to improve it. He wants it to die. And we don't like that. And the body don't like that. In fact, Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. What does that mean? Crucified means death. It went to the cross. Jesus went to the cross. He said, I'm crucified. My body's dead with Christ. Nevertheless, he said, I live. I'm still living, but he said, I live, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So Paul said, okay, I'm still in this body. Y'all don't see that it's dead. But he said, I put it on the altar. I gave it to Jesus. I committed my life to him. I'm sold out to him. And Paul's goal in his life was to be like Jesus and do his will. That ought to be every Christian's goal. But we come in conflict with that because we're tempted. You think Paul wasn't tempted in his day? You think all these great heroes of the faith, you think they just lived in a bubble? I like Enoch. Enoch walked with God 300 years. I thought, my goodness, 300 years. And God just took him. That's a long time. We just, at the best, we got maybe 100 if you really, really get blessed. 300 years. He was older than that, but 300 years he walked with God. Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ. I've shared this with some of you before, but some new people here. I was in seminary, had a guy. Came, he's a little old frail guy, had tunnel vision, one of the most godly men I've ever met in my life. And he challenged us to die to self. Boy, he really preached to us. And he even said that sometimes they'd do revivals, he'd bring a casket in. In front of the pulpit and opened the casket. It had these little things that showed a guy, and he was like this, like he's in the casket. And after he challenged us, he says, the Bible says we ought to die to self and live for Christ. And he says, write your name on the back of that and put the date on it. If you mean it, then get out of that aisle, come up and drop it in the casket. I'm dead to self, I'm alive to Christ. That was tough. I did that. About over 40 years ago, I did that. But you know what I found out? You have to keep doing it. Because things challenge you and temptations come to you and you live in the world. And I wish you could just do it one time and be done with it. Glory to God, we got it. We checked that off our list and we're good to go. It don't just work that way. We're in a battle. We're in a battle for our minds, our heart, our soul, our lives. And so when things come in our life, that rubbish gets in our life, we got to have a house cleaning, spring cleaning, fall cleaning, weekly cleaning. And the Word of God, we're washed by the water of the Word. So God wants ourselves crucified to self and living for God. So as I said, he don't want it dressed up. He don't want it patched up. He don't want it powdered up. He don't want it puffed up. He wants it surrendered to him. Psalms 37:4 says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord and trust in him, and he shall bring it to pass. I guess early in life when people read that and say, man, if I just get happy in Jesus, anything I want, he'll just give it to me. That's not what that verse means. It means when we get so delighted and in love with the Lord, that God will begin to put in our hearts the things that we ought to have in our hearts and the love we ought to have for the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul came to a place that he was confronted with his personal goals. He was a very educated man. He said he had all kind of accolades. He said, but I count them as dung. I count them as waste. I don't even count them anymore. He said, I just want to live for Christ. I want to live for Jesus. Romans 6:6 says that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer live for, become a slave for sin. Seth goes kicking and screaming to the cross. Seth does not want to die. This is, I believe, one of the hardest verses in the Bible for us to come in face to face with is Jesus wants us to just die to self and live for him. Now, you'll still have some of your same personality. You'll still look just like yourself when you get up off your knees. But your heart changed. Your mind changed. You got set free from a lot of things you struggle with. You got new goals in your life. You don't let the world blow you away anymore like it used to, because you know Jesus has got this, and he's got me, and he's got you. We all struggle with things. You're going to struggle with things when you walk out of here today. But you ought to say, Lord, you got it. When the devil comes and tempts you and he's riding you around down the road and the devil's tempting you, I'll just pull over and open the door and say, get out. I don't want you riding with me anymore. I'm riding with Jesus. I'm crucified with Christ. And you know, we want self-confidence. We really don't like depending on the Lord or anybody else. We were talking in Sunday school. Most of us were taught to work if you don't eat. We were taught to work hard and do things right and all that kind of stuff. And so we grew up to really kind of be independent. There was a young guy came to Jesus one day. He was very wealthy. He was a leader. He was a ruler. And he said, Master, what must I do to be saved? He said, I've kept all the commandments from my birth, which he was lying in the first place. He could not keep them all. But to him, he was religious. He kept all these things. He said, what else I got to do to go to heaven? And Jesus says, sell everything you got and give it to the poor, and you have riches eternally. And he shook his head and went away sad. He would not do it. You know why? He was dependent on his own resources instead of depending on the Lord's resources. I don't care how wealthy you are, billionaires will go to hell without Christ. Money will not get you into heaven. Only Jesus Christ can get us into heaven. And I don't care what you've done in your life, Jesus will forgive you and cleanse you and make a new creature out of you. And I know he did in me. I'd probably be in hell today if Jesus hadn't saved me. Honest to God, 45-something years ago, Jesus came into my life and set me free from a lot of things. Changed my life, changed my direction. I wanted to be a successful businessman and leave businesses to my kids. Still like those kind of things. But Jesus put a new desire in my heart, a new hope in my heart, a new goal in my life. And I wanted to live for him. But preachers are not the only ones supposed to be doing that. You know, I struggle like you struggle, but I trust Christ. I fight battles like you fight battles, but I trust Christ. And we've got an advocate with the Father. When we mess up, we can go to him in prayer and ask for forgiveness and cleanness. He cleansed us from all, A-L-L, all unrighteousness. So the thing is today, hardest verse that we'll be confronted with, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. If God is wanting to save you today and you've never been born again, you've never been saved, he's talking to you. The Holy Spirit of God is using his word and pricking your heart right now. But self is resisting. I well remember holding on to the back of the pew. Man, I was gripping that pew. God was speaking to my heart and speaking to my heart, but I wouldn't turn it loose. Finally, I did. My life's never been the same since. See, self was resisting. Because self says, well, I can't be a Christian. I can't be one of those do-gooders. I can't live like that. I got news for you. You can't. You cannot. But when you surrender your life and give up your will to Jesus Christ and Jesus comes into your life, He will begin to live through the power of the Holy Spirit, will begin to live the Christian life in you, mold you, change you, make you, conform you to the Lord. But you've got to say, Lord, I'm tired of fighting it. I'm tired of struggling with it. I'm losing the battle. I know I'm a sinner. Lord, come into my life. Come into my mind. Come into my heart. Help me be born again, be a new creature in Christ. You'll never be the same. I've heard people say a lot of things they regretted. I never heard anybody say I regretted becoming a Christian. And you won't either. And if you are a Christian, I know you struggle with a lot of things because that's just common to man. But why don't you say today, we don't have an altar, you don't have to come here, but when we stand to sing, you bow your head, you can say, Lord, I want to go to that altar this morning. I want to put myself and my life on that altar. I want to surrender my will to you. And Lord, with your grace and your help, I want to live for you like I've never lived for you before. I want the victories in my life that I've never had. That's what God wants for you. That's what God wants. Let's stand as we sing. God has spoken to your heart this morning. He's doing the speaking, not me. He's the one trying to tell you something, not me. And so whatever He says, if it's salvation, say yes and then share it with us. Open your heart to Him. Ask Him to forgive you and cleanse you. Ask Him to come into your life and make a new creature out of you. He has the power to do it. I don't. He does. He's God. He did it. He can do it. And if He's asking you to just surrender, you just close your eyes as we sing. Don't worry about singing. Just let God deal with you this morning. Just let Him mold you and make you and change you. Get the rubbish out of your life today. And while we sing.
Have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way. Thou art the